thank you. Thank you so much. It's always such a delight to be here. Thank you. I always love coming here. This is like, I call this my Maple Creek family. I love being able to come and visit with you. So thank you for letting me come and visit with you. And I was wondering, is there anybody here that's here for the very first time? Is there anybody that is here? We have somebody? No. Okay. Keep thinking I see a hand going up there. Is there anybody here that this is the first time that you've been here when I've been here? What? That's awesome. Wow. Well, you know, whenever I am invited to go someplace, I honestly take it very seriously and to heart and never take for granted the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come and to share with you. So I take the place that the Lord has sent me to really very seriously in my heart, and I always ask for a fresh word. And so I've been in ministry now for about 30 years, and I don't think I've ever repeated a word. So the point being, isn't God awesome? A fresh word every day. This morning, I have also had the privilege of watching the sunrise. I was out on a country road watching the sunrise, and oh my gosh, I was just so excited to think, who am I that I get to see this living painting? And it was like every breath I took, the picture in the sky changed a different color. You know what I mean, right? And then another color and another color, and I'm snapping pictures, and it's just, it was so incredible. And it was like, how can we not get excited? How can we not think that God is going to not bless us when we have this God that paints in the morning like that? Before people are up, he's painting, just busy painting. How beautiful is that? So I'm just delighted to be here. Thank you so much. I wanted to talk a little bit today about, before we get talking, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the prophetic. It's kind of on my heart. And it's funny, you know, when I go places, not so much here because this is my family and you guys just put up with me anyway. So I'm grateful for that. But sometimes I go places where people, it's funny because you go to greet them when it's greeting time, and they don't want to look, no eye contact, no shake of the hand, you know, like, stay away, stay away. And I thought just today that I'd like to just address the topic of the prophetic just for a moment. That's not the topic of the day. I just want to do this. Just, it's a little bit of housekeeping, okay? And that is, you know, we are all called to prophesy. And people kind of freak out and they think, well, I can't say a word from the Lord like that, or it doesn't sound like this, it doesn't sound like that. Well, yay, it shouldn't sound like anybody else. It should sound like the Spirit of the living God in you. And you come with your own individual DNA of how you should present the prophetic. So everybody here, you should be prophesying. And what does that mean? Prophetic is taking the words from heaven and pulling them down and releasing them here on earth. That's not so hard, right? And you all have that in you because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So, and Jesus was talked about as being the prophet from the very beginning of ages. So why would you not be prophesying? And it's as simple as taking the words from heaven, pulling them down, and releasing them here on earth. And so I really felt that the Lord wanted to encourage you today. And let's just take just a moment and think, what does that look like? So perhaps you are in the grocery store, and there is a grocery clerk that every time you see that person, their smile just blesses you. It just, you even look for them to go and get in the line for the checkout. And so when you're there, you just say to them, gee, I look forward to your smile. Your smile blesses me, whatever it is. Do you not think that's not a prophetic word? That is a powerful prophetic word. That is taking the words from heaven and releasing them here on earth. Who wouldn't want to hear that their smile is a blessing? So we complicate things and we think, well, I could never say that word over that person or speak that. Yes, you can. But just do it in who you are and how you are. So anyway, I just wanted to address that today because I feel like sometimes the thought around the prophetic is kind of creepy. And it's kind of like out there. And it's kind of like too hard. Whereas, really, we've all been called to pray. We've all been called to prophesy. We've all been called to bless. So we should do it, right? So today you're going to go out and do that, right? I just know you are. I know you are. And that kind of just leads me to what the word that the Lord's put on my heart. And that is that have you ever wondered why there's an epidemic of brokenness? Would you agree with me there's an epidemic of brokenness? An epidemic is when they say that an epidemic is when one out of five people have the disease, have the issue. Well, I would say, okay, if you are alive here on earth today, would you put up your hands, please? Okay, well, heck, that's one out of everyone. So if you're alive, you're here on earth, you're here, there is no doubt in my heart that you have the opportunity to be touched by the epidemic of brokenness because we live here on this earth, right? And when we think about it, we don't want to be a part of an epidemic. And then when we think even a little bit more, here we serve the living God that paints pictures in the morning, in the sky, that changes with every breath. But we have a church, churches in general, that walk in the epidemic of brokenness. So I thought maybe today we could talk a little bit about brokenness. Because if somebody had a cure for the disease that you were walking in, wouldn't you want to have that cure? Well, today, I believe we have the cure for brokenness. And so, yay, that's so cool. That's exciting to me. I'd like to just take a moment before anything else and really thank both of you for having me here. I just deeply honor you. You're dear friends, amazing people of God. And just thank you. Do you just love these people? Yeah, I just love you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I don't take it lightly. Thank you so much. And also, I want you to know that this place has been bathed in prayer for how many years? How many years have you been here?
20 years.
20 years and 1 month, did you say? 14 days, 3 hours, and 42 seconds. Wow. Oh, 43, 44, 45. So, and wow, that is so cool. So you come right into an environment where the disease of brokenness has already been expired. And that's just so exciting. So in that, I wonder if, before we just move on to that, you know, the Lord, I have always say this, you guys are probably tired of hearing me say this, but I have never considered myself a great preacher. That is not a curse. I just know my strengths and weaknesses. I've never considered myself a great teacher, but I see things. And for that, that I'm confident in and can stand here confidently and say that. So there were just a few pictures that I saw today. Would you mind if I shared one or two? That'd be okay. Well, thank you. So the first one, I'm sorry that I don't know your name, Jessica. Jessica, yeah. Thank you for singing today. Welcome back. It's so awesome. And I just wanted to say that the Lord gave me a picture over you. Could I tell you it? You don't mind? I just wrote a few things down, so I got to go over here. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. So this is what I saw. I saw you standing on the stage and you were singing. And as you were singing, around you became this massive desert. And the desert was filled with sand dunes dry sand, a desert all around you. And you just kept singing, and you kept singing. And then, was just asking the Lord, what does this mean? And as you were singing, the Lord drew my vision closer to the sand dunes that were all around you. You were in this, right, surrounded. You could see nothing around you but this desert. And the Lord drew my eyes closer to see that they were not. It was not sand. It was not sand or sand dunes at all, but little fragments of gems and gold that were building hills and rolling what looked like the sand dunes, and all of this gold and all of this glitter as I could see closer into each grain. And the Lord told me to tell you that his love for you is of more value than all of that gold that could have been gathered together. And just wanted to encourage you today how much his eye is on you. So thank you for being such a blessing here, Jessica. Thank you. Isn't that cool? That's beautiful, eh? That's so beautiful. Thank you, Jessica. So we wanted to talk about the epidemic today of brokenness. I looked up the word brokenness, and I found some synonyms of brokenness. Synonyms, right? Just want to get that straightened out. And this is what I read. Here are just some words. Brokenness. Okay. Crumbled, damaged, destroyed, disintegrated, dismembered, divided, fractured, fragments, injured, lacerated, mangled, pulverized, ruptured, separated, shattered, splintered. And that was just a few. That's brokenness. And we already established here today that if you're alive and you're here, that you're going to live in a world that all of these things are possible to happen to you. Probably have. I don't believe there's one person in this room that you wouldn't be able to say that there's a portion of your heart somewhere, something within you, you have experienced brokenness, shattering of dreams, fracturing of families, loss of hope. Let me just go down that list. Crumbled relationships, damaged goods, destroyed visions, disintegrated hope. We could go on and on and on. So if we were honest, we would say that there is something, there's a portion, there's a part of our hearts that feel that brokenness, that know that intimately. And I would even say that there are people here today that in your brokenness, you've got caught up in a loop. It just keeps on going and going and going. Healing, wholeness, brokenness, division, crumbled. Healing, wholeness, brokenness, division, crumbled. Well, today can be the last day of that loop. We're believing for that loop to end because we're calling out brokenness for what it is, and it is not the way that God has designed us. Now, I'm not so foolish, and I'm certainly old enough to know that when we live in this world, we are going to have to deal with hurts, lost hope and dreams, brokenness, woundedness. So I'm not trying to say that these things don't happen, that they're not there, that it's not available. That's not what I'm saying, because we would all agree that that is something that we face every day. But in spite of all that we just read about brokenness, and can I just tell you what I believe personally is the very root of brokenness? You're excited to hear this, right? The very root of brokenness, the one thing that is the root. I'm not saying it's the only chain, but it is the root. And if you can unlock this in your life, I am convinced that the chains of brokenness will fall off. And that is offense. When we carry offense towards someone, something that's happened. You know, they say that offense, and there could be some of you that are offended by me right now for saying this, but offense is the condition of our own heart that separates us from our healing. So I just want to address the fact right now that there may be some of you that are offended by what I'm saying. Because in our brokenness, there can be a blinding. And just like the one song we sang today about, "Oh My Soul," you know, there comes a point in time when we have to face our fears by the God that we know. And the offense that has come up in people, people would say, "I have the right to be offended." Okay, now don't let me offend you by what I'm about to say, right? We're going to call it out. No. Where does it ever say in the Word of God that you have the right to be offended? Now, you may well have a reason to be offended, but you have no right to be offended. Does that offend you? Are you offended? I'm not offended. Are you offended? Is that offensive? I just wanted to say all those words. You don't have the right to be offended. Because, listen to this. Today, and Anita and Hans are helping me, and we just within seconds came up with the reason why we don't have the right to carry offense. Because these are the names of Christ. Just a few, just a handful. Through Christ, it's not the names of Christ, sorry, this is what we have through Christ. We're new creations. We're friends of God's, of God. Sons and daughters, children, chosen, accepted, approved, anointed, victorious, set apart, righteous, saints, royal priesthood, free, the light, joint heirs. We don't have the right to hang on to our offense when we just found out who we are through Christ. And when we take a look at our brokenness, and then when we take a look at our freedom, why do we want to stay in brokenness? And people might say, I have tried to get out of that brokenness. I have tried to put the offense down. And I agree. I have tried too. But the thing is, if we can turn our perspective and begin to see our brokenness through the eyes of Christ. As I was praying about this, I saw a picture, and what I saw was I saw all of these people that were walking around almost zombie-like, wounded, bleeding, bloody, bruised, pieces of hair out, fabric off of them, nobody talking, nobody smiling, no color. You get that picture? And then somehow my vision was transported up, and from the heavenly view I looked down, and you know what I saw? Beauty, peace, healing, wholeness. Because I saw through the eyes of Christ what he sees. And he sees us as perfect. He sees us as healed. He sees us as whole. He sees us as the new creation that he has painted every morning. He sees us as his children. He sees us as the ones that he created all of heaven and earth for. We're his children, and that's how he sees us. He no longer sees us as the broken, depressed, wounded, hurt, fallen off the face of the earth, can't have any joy. That's not how he sees us. That's how we see us. That's where the epidemic comes in. We begin to turn our eyes and see how he sees us. Is it easy? Maybe not. Is it possible? Absolutely. Because that is what he has called us. Again, as I was praying about this, I saw this bicycle. And the bicycle was full of gems and platinum and diamonds and rubies and gems. Amazing bicycle. And it was parked here. And there was a lineup all the way as far as my vision could go of people waiting to get on that bike and ride it. And the people would come. Some of them were afraid to even touch it because it appeared so beautiful. And, you know, like, I don't, that's worth millions and millions of dollars, all of those gems. Some people would get on the bike. They would just sit on the bike and then fall off. Because a bike that's stationary, you fall off of it, right? Others were afraid because they thought they might fall off and hurt themselves if they tried to ride that bike. And then others began to get on the bike and pedal and move forward. And as they moved forward, they had balance. They had control. They were able to go and move forward. The bike didn't fall over because it was moving forward. And the bike represented the richness of heaven, the transportation of getting from brokenness to how Christ sees us. That's the bicycle that he has designed from heaven. And then I asked him, why is the bike so expensive and beautiful? And he said to me, because all the things he puts his hand to, he always adds jewels. I thought that's just cool. That was just so cool. So why would we want to just sit on the bike and not move forward? Why would we want to have this transportation and not move forward? Again, I know, even right now, I can sense in my heart, I can sense in my spirit that there are people that are sitting here right now saying, I've tried this, it doesn't work. I've tried this, it doesn't work. I am here to tell you that it will work. It does work. When we begin to take those offenses, that brokenness, and view it from what Christ says and looks at in us, the beauty of who we are. When we are willing to say, I don't have the right to be offended. When we're willing to say that, I will let down this offense. Now, is that easy? No. I'm not talking about easy stuff here, but I am talking about possible stuff. So I ask you the question, where do you want to stay today? In the epidemic of brokenness or in the freedom of knowing who you truly are in Christ? I don't believe there's one person here that would say they want to stay in brokenness. I think brokenness can seem like a safe place to stay. Uh-oh, did I offend somebody? But it's not the place to stay, because you have the right, as a child of the living God, you have the right to say, I am whole, I am healed, and I will walk in who I am in Christ. Now, I know that I'm careful how to say this because I don't want to offend anyone. However, I know that going through Facebook right now, for those who are on Facebook, and Janet told me that a lot of people use this illustration, and sometimes they will take a piece of money and hold it up, like a $20 bill, and hold it up and say, this is its value, crumple it up, and then ask you, maybe you've seen this done, and say, even though it's crumpled, it's of its same value, correct? Yeah, of course, it's just paper money. Of course it's of its same value. That is just paper money. We're bars of gold. Try to crumple that up. See, we got to get our eyes away from the fact that we're just this and we're just that. We got to get our eyes on the fact that we are gold. That we are God's children. We are royalty. That he sees us as healed, whole, and perfect. That's amazing. You know, I used to work for WestJet. I don't know if you remember me telling you that. It was my midlife crisis. I became a flight attendant. And yes, I did do that. I mean, at least I didn't, I don't know, get a motorcycle or a convertible. I just decided to go 40,000 feet in the air for a few years. And one time I had the opportunity, the privilege, to go into the cabin with the pilot. We were in there quite often. And it was actually his very last flight. And he'd been a pilot for, 30 years. And I mean, this man, he knew his business when it came to flying these jets. So I felt very privileged that I got to sit with him. And I said, of all of these years that you've done this, tell me, what is the most valuable lesson that you've learned? And he told me this. He said, and he answered very quickly, so he'd obviously thought about this over the years. He said that when he flies, that he stays right on course. If he begins to go even a degree out of the airspace, because they have X amount of degrees that they can go that's theirs, but instead of... When he goes even a degree, even if he has 10 degrees of space, even 1 degree, and he pulls himself right back online. if he goes another degree, right back online. He never let himself go too far in the parameters because he said he never forgot the fact that if he goes off course, people die. So that's powerful, isn't it? That's amazing that that was what the pilot, I felt very safe with that man, that's for sure. But what a great life lesson. If you're going even a degree outside of what God calls you, pull yourself back. Pull yourself back and remind yourself, I am a child of the living God. I am anointed. I am appointed. I am set aside. This is my time. This is my place to rise up and say, I'm not going to get way out here. I'm not going to get way out here. I'm going to go right back in the center and say, no, I know who I am in Christ, and I choose to not walk in my brokenness. So I think that it's exciting to know that we have a cure for brokenness. I know that, again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that some of these things are easy. Sometimes when people have had a great illness, it can take time to rehabilitate. I understand that. I've broken so many bones. I've had so many injuries. I know that rehabilitation can take time. But that doesn't mean that we can't be pressing forward to our rehabilitation. And, you know, from all of this, I believe that the church can rise up, go out into the community, prophesy those words over the land, over your schools, over your children, over your workplace, over your friends, over your family. Prophesy the words that we first talked about. Pull down from heaven the words of God. Release them here on earth. We can do it as whole and healed people. Because you are a bar of gold. You're of great value. All the value and worth that you can think of. You're not just a piece of paper money. Your value is so far past that. And if we can dare to hang on to that truth and dare to believe that, then today we can take that pill of healing and we can snuff out the epidemic of brokenness. It seems to me that we have, you know, there was a time within the churches that we would speak, we would name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. And I was one of them. I was one of them. So I'm not being critical of that. But there's a season where we became almost arrogant in front of the Lord, saying, this is ours to claim and that's ours to claim. And so then the balance started to work its way back out again. And we began to understand that it was a privilege and an honor to walk with God this way. But in the midst of all of that, we've raised a generation of people who believe that brokenness is something that we can claim as being a good thing. Well, look at how broken I am, and even out of my brokenness, I can accomplish this and that. Again, I will never speak a curse on a generation. I bless every generation that has ever been since the beginning of time and that there will be. So I'm not speaking a curse or something negative, but I am stating a fact that there is a group of people now, a generation of people, that feel that when we can do things out of our brokenness, it shows how strong we are. But that's a shadow of a lie, because the brokenness is never been what God has designed for us. And we need to kick brokenness in the butt and say, no more. Because I want to remind you, we're new creations through Christ. We're his friends, his sons, his daughters, his children. We're the chosen people. We're accepted by him. We have the spirit of reconciliation on us. We're approved. We're anointed. We're victorious. It's like Paul and the worship team They already did this whole message today with the worship. His name is victory. His name is not brokenness. We're set apart. We're righteous through Christ. We're called saints, a royal priesthood, free of all condemnation. You know what? It takes courage. It takes courage to stand and believe that we are free of condemnation, that we are all the things that we've written down. But I believe there are people here today that in your courage, you will be able to stand and face the fear that you know your God has already beaten. And you're not alone. There is a whole world system here to help you walk out of your brokenness and claim this health and wholeness. There's a whole world system. First of all, there's people here. There's Hans and Janet. There's education. There's the medical world. There's the psychological world. There's information out there that we've never, ever had before. You're not alone. You're not alone. So you don't have to stay in that brokenness, but you can start your journey today into wholeness. You can cross that line in the sand today and say, no, I'm not going to remain in that brokenness. And you might think, well, I don't really have brokenness and I've stepped out of that. So, you know, today, maybe you can ask the Lord, are there things that are hidden in your heart that you've chosen not to face, that are broken issues that he'd like to heal today? It doesn't have to be massive. He's absolutely concerned in every cell of your body. Every cell. So today, you can ask him about that so you can walk out of the epidemic of brokenness. I believe there are people here today that you've lost dreams and hopes. That when you were a child, the Lord put hopes and dreams and inventions and adventures and excitement on your heart. And if you were honest with yourself, you would stop and you would look back and say, I didn't accomplish those things, and I want to. And he's here to establish and tell you that those dreams, those hopes, those visions, those desires are being restirred, and he never forgot them. Not once did he forget them. So dream again. Dream again. Let life of the Holy Spirit come and speak on those dreams and those hopes and that ministry and that desire that's in your heart. Let life come back to it today, because brokenness is over. There's, I don't know your name. No, not yours. Sorry. Yes. Mark, I just want to tell you, the Lord showed me a picture of you today. And what I saw was where the sand runs through the time. What's that called? Hourglass, thank you. Yes. And I saw this hourglass over you, that all the sand was in the bottom. And there were times in your heart that you saw the sand in the bottom. But the Lord wanted to tell you today that that is not true, that that's a lie. And that he's flipped the time over, and there's endless sand running through that today. Endless sand. And that time that you thought maybe you had lost some hopes and lost some dreams, and times that some of the things in your heart that you had, as a young man, really desired, that you just have gently and quietly said, well, you know what, that was for then, this is for now. That today he wants to assure you that he has given you endless amount of sand, and that those things that you have hoped for have not run out for 1 minute. The things that you are calling back for your family and calling back the things as a young man, the strength that you had to believe for things has not run out at all. And so we just bless you in the name of Jesus. Is that okay, Mark? We just bless you. We bless you. I pray, Lord, that the truth of that will come to life in his heart now. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. So what do you think, friends? Pardon? Sorry, you were all talking at one time. I didn't hear. What do you think? Is today a good day to step out of brokenness? Sherry, can I speak a word over you? Thank you. I like to ask permission, but I usually do it anyway. It just seems polite. I try to be polite. Sherry, this is what I saw over you today. I see in your heart such a hunger for things of God. You haven't given up hope, and you have such a hunger. You really long for, believe for. You know your God is a God of miracles, and that's who you are. And this is a great woman to hang around when you need faith, because you have a lot of faith. And I saw you standing in the ocean, and you're just knee-deep, and the waves are splashing, just splashing over you, just gentle waves coming and splashing over you. And you had your face to the sun, and there was just a gleam of the warmth of the sun on your face as these waves continued to splash over you. And the Lord just said, you know, and it's even like your feet could just feel the moving of the sand under your feet, and you were just... The ripple effect of that sand under your feet, and it was splashing over you. And the Lord wanted to remind you today that there's just waves of faith yet to come over you. Waves of faith. People are going to come to you with the prayers and the words that you have in your heart. They're going to come out, just waves of faith. So I really encourage you to let the brokenness of thinking that who are you to say these things? Who are you to have this kind of faith? Let those waves of brokenness just go to the other end of the ocean. Get lost in the other end of the ocean. And let the waves of the Holy Spirit wash over you today, because you are a woman of faith. Is that true about her? Yeah, see? So that's, I think that's really, that's incredible. That's incredible. So I just bless that faith in you in the name of Jesus. And I just encourage people to encourage her. And I got prayer requests I'm going to come and talk to you about. So, and one last thing that I really feel like the Lord wanted to address today is that there are some people here, and Marlene, I know you're one, that the Lord really wants to encourage you. I know there's others. There's others too. Let your tears talk. Don't dismiss how important your tears are. Your tears have a story written on them. They're a prophetic word. They're a beautiful prophetic word. I know there's others here too that you've wept over your family. You've wept over situations in your life. And you've thought, I don't even know how to pray anymore. And then you start to beat yourself up because it's like, I should be praying. Let your tears be your prophetic word, and let there be a freedom to that. If you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you feel you need to cry over something, trust. You don't have to know what it is. It doesn't have to be your words. Do you think our God just needs words? No, it's not at all. And so we just bless that flow of tears in people. Marlene, I just bless that you have wept and wept over people. Every tear, it says in the Bible that God takes those tears in a vial and holds them close to his chest. Those tears are prophetic words. They're powerful prophetic words. They're taking the words from heaven, pulling them down, and releasing them here on earth. So I thank everyone here, and Marlene, I thank you for people who have taken time to just let your tears minister to God in heaven. Anyway, I believe that there, I'm going to hand this over to Hans here in just a second, because I believe that there are people here today that the Lord wants you to join in prayer on your behalf, to come and to stand against that brokenness and to say, today I will no longer be a piece of paper money that's crinkled and crumpled. I will be that bar of priceless gold that I've been called to be. And watch the restoring of our Father, the resurrection life that Paul and the team sang about. Come and see these areas of your life resurrected. And let's fight against the epidemic of brokenness. Would that be okay if we do that? Well, I'd love to be able to pray with you guys, and I'm going to let Han set this up. But in case some of you have to go, I want to take the opportunity to say thank you so much for letting me be a part of your family and come and be with you today. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Han.